on my heart this evening.
Brother Allen, when he asked me to come and preach, I asked him if he has anything in mind for us, for me tonight, for the evenings. He said, a cry to the men. A cry to the men. And I have a burden. I have a cry. It's the cry of the Lord. It's God's cry. It was Isaiah's cry. Isaiah heard a voice saying, cry, cry. And he asked a very good question. What shall I cry? And God told him what he should cry. He said, cry. All flesh is grass, and the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Praise God for that. For God's word tonight. Christ's everlasting gospel shall never, never fail. Isaiah goes on to say, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. I have a burden upon my heart this evening. I think it's God's heart. I think it's God's burden. And my burden is for the glory of God, that the glory of God would be upon His people. The glory of God would be upon His people. Now, we could go a few different directions this evening and talking about this, and I might say a little bit in the message about, you know, if we have sin in our lives, God won't put His glory upon His people, or there's reasons why God's glory is taken off of His people. But I believe I'm speaking to a group of people tonight that probably have also a burden and a cry upon their hearts to see God's glory. I'm talking to a lot of probably some ministers and many fathers here tonight and mothers and some children here. The glory of God upon His people. I was thinking about the beautiful singing and the powerful singing this evening. It's beautiful. It's uplifting. It's soul charging, isn't it? But dearly beloved, let us not be deceived. It's not a true sign of God's power in our midst. It's not, it's good, it's right. I believe in singing with gusto. He is worthy. Amen. He is worthy for the people of God to sing with all their heart, to sing with all their soul and might. But it's not a true sign that we're having revival. It's not. I don't want to dampen anyone's fires tonight, but I want us to get a hold of God. And I have a burden, and God has a burden that He could be God among His people once again. God has not changed, amen? God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God that led the children of Israel out of Egypt is the same tonight that He was back then. And it's about His glory, and His concern is about His name. Not about me and not about you, but about His name. It's about His name. He is a jealous God. He has glory. In heaven the angels cry, and the seraphims and the cherubims, holy, holy, holy. And he's not jealous in the sense that he doesn't want to give that glory to his people, but he wants that glory to magnify, to turn around and magnify his name and make him great and not us. But as I was thinking about, as we were singing, Christ's everlasting gospel shall never, never fail. And I don't want you to go home with having sung loud and having your spirit lifted a little bit and having felt good and having been encouraged. Yes, I want you to be encouraged, but I want you to go home with more than that. I want you to go home with a burden that God would come upon His people, that there's not just loud singing, but that there's power upon the church of Jesus Christ. Power. Power in the midst of them. Power to change lives. Power to heal marriages. Power to heal families. Power to fix deep hurts in our hearts tonight. I'm glad we're singing because He is worthy, but I'm concerned because I know, and God knows, and I know I'm not that dumb tonight. I know many of you, many pastors out there are heartbroken. And you're wanting for God to do something. And there's people that you have poured hours of work into their lives. And at the end, they walked away from you. And you wonder, where is the power of God? Where is God? I'm sure in a group this size, there's families out there that sadly have to admit tonight that there's a son or a daughter that is in rebellion and maybe even walked away from home. And if I could see your face tonight, Mom, if I could see in your eyes back there, you're so far away. But I believe there'd probably be tears wanting to come out and trickle down over your cheeks. And you wonder, Christ's everlasting gospel shall never fail. I want more than loud singing. I want my son home. I want my daughter home. Amen. I know what it feels like to pour hours and hours into someone and to break your heart over their needs. And then they walk away from you. I know what that feels like. I know what it is like to get a phone call and say, Elvin, would you come quickly? My son is wanting to leave home. And I go there and the dad is in tears and mom is in tears. And the son is, and the dad has the keys to the car. And the son is saying, give me my keys. I want to go. And the dad is saying, no, don't go. You don't know what you're getting into. And I'm walking behind them and I'm trying to convince him and say, don't go, you're making a mistake. And the episode keeps going on for a while, and there's tears and there's crying and the children are crying. The little 5-year-old goes hysterical as he sees his brother finally leave out the lane. And I'm not blaming anyone. My dear brother, my dear sister, if you're on the phone tonight and you're hearing me say this, I'm not blaming you. I'm crying out to God for His power to be upon the church. I'm not blaming you, my dear brother, my dear sister. I long. And don't you think with me that God longs that the testimony would once go out as it did for the children of Israel. And if you can turn with me to Joshua chapter 2, if you would turn with me to that chapter tonight, Joshua chapter 2. I long for this, and I'm sure there's many that are longing for this. In Joshua chapter 2, Joshua sends out a couple of spies to spy out Jericho. 2 spies. Let's read from verse 1 to 11. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word tonight. God, You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Father, exalt Your great name tonight. Let me only speak as the oracles of God, and that God in all things would be glorified through Jesus Christ this evening. Father, it's Your glory. We know you want to put your glory upon your people, that there might be a fear and a dread upon the land because of your people, God. Oh, Father, we've seen too much of the other. We long, God, for us to get into such a place where you can once again pour out your power and Christ's everlasting gospel would change lives to the glory of God, and families would be restored, lives would be changed, marriages would be healed. God, we need more than loud singing, God, and I am for loud singing because you're worthy of it, God. But we need more than that, and oh God, I pray. Joshua chapter 2, and Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out our country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them and said, thus there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither they went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order under the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they came which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. Now follow with me in verse 9. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. What a testimony. For we heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, when ye came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Amen. That is our God tonight. This is a beautiful account of God's people having his blessing upon them, his power. And I don't know if you realize it or not, but the name Rahab means proud. Proud. And I tell you, if God's power, if God's glory is resting upon his people, it takes the pride out of the nations around us. This woman was no longer proud. You can't find any trace of pride in her. She was, as it were, bowing to the people of God, wasn't she? She was saying, the men in my city, their hearts melted when they heard about you, when they heard the testimony of Israel go out across the land. Oh, we've seen too much of the other side, haven't we? God told Moses in Deuteronomy 28, you don't have to turn there, the Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against one way and flee before thee seven ways. Amen. Amen. Do it again, Lord. Do it again, Lord. Brothers, feel like Goliath has resurrected again. I feel like Goliath has resurrected again. That defiant spirit, defying the God of the armies of Israel. Imagine that giant, though he be 10 feet tall or whatever he was, is nothing compared to the God of Israel. Amen. And there he stands, defying the God of Israel. And the men of Israel were trembling and they were wringing their hands, not knowing what to do with this man.
And my burden tonight is that somehow by God's grace that we could get the vision of David, of who God is and who His people are and what God wants to do with His people. David had a vision. David knew. David remembered. David looked. He remembered at the greatness of God. And then he compared it with Goliath. And there was no comparison in his mind. None at all. But that old Goliath had a defiant spirit. And I've seen that thing around. I've seen it around. Have you? Youth defying their parents, God-given parents. Youth defying their preacher. No fear of God there. Youth coming to a meeting like this that once sat there and sitting in the back defying the very spirit of the meeting. Right? We've seen it. We've heard about it. They do it. That's not right. That's not right. Is there not a cause? That's not right. Where is the fear and dread of God? That's not right. Someone needs to get a vision of who God is again. Someone like Isaiah. Oh, blessed Isaiah. There he let his mind go and his mind's eye. Maybe you should turn there with me to Isaiah chapter 64. Isaiah chapter 64. We know the famous first verses there, but it might do us good to consider what they were birthed out of. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens. We could probably all quote them tonight together. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. As when the melting fire burneth, the fire that causes the waters to boil. Why? To make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations, there it is, may tremble at thy presence. But what were these verses birthed out of? Why did he say this? Why did Isaiah want God to come down and melt the mountains, as it were, and rend the heavens? I think we can see his burden down in verse 9. Let's get the burden of the preacher. And then we can understand his cry. Isaiah verse 64, verse 9, he is praying to God. And here's his burden. And we can see why he has a burden. Be not wroth very sore, O Lord, neither remember iniquity forever. Behold, see, we beseech thee, we are thy people. Thy holy cities are a wilderness. Zion is a wilderness. Jerusalem a desolation. Our holy and our beautiful house, where our fathers praised thee, is burned up with fire, and all our pleasant things are laid waste. There's the burden. There's where it came out of, that cry. Oh, my dearly beloved, tonight, would to God that we could, with our mind's eye, consider that the God of Noah is still alive tonight. And Noah, the Bible says, saved his house by the building of an ark. Noah, by the building of an ark, saved his house. God saw Noah. He was righteous. And God blessed him. I believe it's a shame. I'm sure you agree with me. On God's name, when God's people's families fall apart. And I'm not blaming anyone. I know it's tough to raise families. We need everything we can get. Amen. We need no stopper in the flow for our families. Nothing. When a Christian's family falls apart, I believe it brings shame to God's name. Yes, it hurts the mother's heart. Yes, it hurts the father's heart. At least it should. But what about God's name? What about the everlasting gospel that has not lost its power? Who will look at that long enough and let the vision of his mind affect his heart? What he saw with his eyes, he let it affect his heart. And he got down and he started praying like this. Oh God, your beautiful house, where our fathers praise thee, thy holy cities. Look at that. Thy holy cities, thy families, thy people. Thy people are a wilderness. They're not what they could be. They're not what they should be. Isaiah remembered when things were right. And he let that thing get a hold of his heart. And it seemed like he got a hold of God. At least, I would say, he prayed there in verse 7. There is none that calleth upon thy name. There is none that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. What is it going to take? What is it going to take? Let's not wait till it's too late and the glory departs. Let's not do that. Let's let our eyes affect our hearts and say, but God, this is how it should be. All I'm doing tonight is, this is God, and this is what I see. I would like, brothers and sisters, to be able with Peter to say, this is that which the prophet Joel spoke of. Can we say that? My church experience is that. Can you say that? This is that. Can we ask for that tonight again? Can we? Lord, work a clear work that we can say, this is that. This is God. This is not about me. That old sinner, his life changed. That wasn't me. That marriage, it came together. That wasn't me. That wasn't my doing. That was God. That prodigal. Oh, we've had too many of them go out. How about few coming home? Amen. Then we could say, this is that. This is the power of God. Look at his lament in verse 15 of the chapter before, 63. Look down from heaven and behold the habitation of thy holiness and thy glory. Where thy zeal and thy strength, Isaiah 63, verse 15. Where thy zeal and thy strength, the sounding of thy bowels and thy mercies toward me. Or where is thy zeal and thy strength? Look at it. Where is thy strength, Lord? The sounding of thy bowels. Don't you hear the bowels of the Lord yearn the night over his people? I want to put my glory upon you. I want my name to be exalted. That thy strength and the sounding of thy bowels and of thy mercies toward me, are they restrained? Doubtless thou art our father, though Abraham be ignorant of us and Israel acknowledgest not. Thou, O Lord, art our father, our redeemer. Thy name is from everlasting. O Lord, why hast thou made us to err from thy ways? And harden our hearts from thy fear. Return for thy servant's sake the tribes of thine inheritance. The people, look at verse 18. The people of thy holiness have possessed it but a little while. But a little while. Our adversaries have trodden down thy sanctuary. I long to be able to say this is that. I long not for a great dazzling display of light, miracles and all that. If God wants to do that, so be it. But I long simply for the presence of God to be among His people. I long for His anointing of the Holy Ghost to be upon His people. I long for unction of God upon His people. That when the preacher gets up to preach, it speaks. I long for the fear of God. We have a need for the fear of God, don't we?
I long to see changed lives, clear testimonies. I long for true repentance. And by the way, God longs for all of these more than I do. Clear conversions, testimonies of transformed lives, heartfelt worship. I long for spontaneous praise. I long for spontaneous testimonies of the power of God in their lives. I long for Spirit-filled preaching. I long for conviction of sin. I long for confession of sin. I long for a love of the brotherhood. These are all the Spirit and the proof and the power of God upon His people. That's what it is. And the list could go on and on because we have a great God and He is a holy God. Amen. And the half has not yet been told. Surely God wants to do all this and much more for His people. Hear the heart of God. He said, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God, Moses is speaking here, commanded me that ye should do so in the land whither thou goest to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding. Now here comes the glory. Listen. In the sight of the nations, which shall hear of all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and an understanding people. I long that we don't have to send our people off to the specially trained counselors. Where is the power of God? I long for the body to be able to minister to itself. Surely it should, shouldn't it? The healthy body should be able to reach out and minister to its members. We should be the wisest and the most understanding people on the face of the earth. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all these things that we call upon Him for? What nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous? Surely not Egypt. Surely not the world. Amen. As all this law which I set before you this day, Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. It's a dark world. The world needs to see a clear light. And I'm sad tonight because there is confusion among God's people. The light is not clear. It really isn't. Not as clear as it should be. And the result of that is confused young people. And that is a tragedy. And I don't know what to say other than we need a clear vision. We need to see God, who He is over His people, what He wants to do for His people. And somehow a man needs to stir himself up and get a hold of God till He does it again. Again, back to singing. Heart is singing. Singing with gusto should be a true result of true revival. It should be the outflow of a father who's got over his anger problem. It should be the outflow of a marriage that has been on the rocks for 20 years and got healed. It should be the outflow of a man that has hidden sin in his life for 20 years and finally comes to the place where he lets it go. Singing should be the outflow, but something comes first, the power of the gospel in the heart. And for that, we need God. We need God. We need God to be the true light of the world. Once again, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. We're giving people a mixed message, I'm afraid. We need God. We need God. New Testament scripture.
that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that the Lord Jesus Christ, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling and what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe. Lord, I want to see it work in the home. I want to see it work in the marriage. I want to see it work in the brotherhood, Lord. For your glory, I want to see it work there. Amen. The exceeding greatness of your power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above Goliath, far above that defying spirit. Where is the God of David? Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the church, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Oh, I long for the church. If Christ is in the church, filling all things, shouldn't the same Spirit be emanating out of the church that emanated out of Christ? And wherever Christ went, He demanded a decision. Either you were for Him or against Him. Right? I mean, they either loved Him or hated Him. And we have all this lukewarm stuff today. And it's a gray light. I long for Christ to fill the church all in all. That there's a clear light again. And people are called to make a decision. Either you're in or you're out. Either you're born again or you're not. Either you love God or you don't. Jesus did that wherever He went. He preached and the people's mouth dropped open. And they were amazed at the words that came out of His mouth. I long, brothers, for the world to be amazed once again at the people of God. They're confused. They're confused to a large degree to the shame and of God's name. We need the Lord. We need God. Where's the man? Where's the woman that'll get a hold of God? That'll let your situation or the church's situation affect your heart, that you get alone in your closet and you pray in secret and God rewards openly. Where's the open rewards of prayers today? Families restored, souls saved, a clear testimony of God's holiness among His people. I get so weary of all this gray stuff and dress. We can preach till we're blue in the face and it hardly seems to make a difference. They just come up with a different style that it's pushing the line here. We need the Spirit of God to so put His fear upon His people that they want to cover their body properly and that they hate the fads and fashions of the world. For he that is a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Who's going to dress us? Walmart or the Bible? How are we going to do it? What is our standard? We need the fear of God. Moms, when you sit at the sewing machine, I pray that somehow the fear of God could be upon your heart and modesty, and the glory of God would be without question. Why make those dresses so tight and take away all the gathers that you can see the body? Why? I remember the day when God, I remember a little. I can look back, I remember a little when things were going the other way. Hallelujah. And people were putting looser clothing on to the glory of God. And we were changing to the glory of God. And I remember when jewelry was coming into the offering basket. I remember. I would love to see it again. Now they're putting it on some. Oh my. Lord, here's another a cry from Isaiah. Arise, shine, Lord, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. That is the case in many places. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. His glory shall be seen upon his people. I long for that. I don't long enough. I know I don't. I was thinking about this message tonight and I said, Lord, I know I don't even hardly know what I'm talking about. But somebody must have been praying for me, because mysteriously recently I'm starting to get this burden that's saying, Lord, this isn't that. This isn't that. All of a sudden, I'm getting a burden from the glory of the Lord to be upon his people. And I'm saying, God, where's your power? Your power that brings glory to your name. Where the people, they fear the New Testament church like they did in the book of Acts. No man durst join himself to that group. If you hid sin, they got the testimony that Ananias and Sapphira had some sin in their life, and they lied and they died. Where is that fear? Can we even pray to see something remotely close to that today? We need to stir ourselves up. If we don't stir ourselves up, if you have never seen revival, you need to see it. But there's many in here tonight that I know have seen and witnessed the power of God. And brothers and sisters, we need to stir ourselves up. Say, God, we need that. Or something else is going to stir our children. Either they need to see that mom and dad are excited about God. They're glad to serve God. They are serious about God. Or they're going to find something better to do. Paul had the same burden. Turn with me to Romans chapter 9, if you will. Paul had the same burden for his people. Romans chapter 9. This is tremendous. We heard this morning, those of us that were here, about Moses, where God said, Moses, stand back. Leave me alone. I want to work Israel out of the way. They're a stiff-necked and rebellious people. And Moses interceded and he said, God, rather blot my name out than these. Well, here we have a very similar heart in the Apostle Paul. Paul had a vision of God. Paul knew what God could do. Paul saw God's glory, and he knew what belonged to Israel. He knew it. And look what belonged to Israel out of that burden. Look, he saw the glory of God. He saw Jesus. Hallelujah. He saw Jesus, and he was so bright and so powerful that it knocked him right off his beast. And he knew what belonged to Israel. And somehow I can't explain these first three verses. I couldn't say that. Lord, let me be a curse for my people. But that's what he said. He says, I say the truth in Christ and lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. I have great heaviness and continual sorrow on my heart. This was a burden. Mine is just starting, but praise God, it's starting.
He had it continually on for Israel. They're not experiencing what they should, what they could. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Now look at verse 4. Who are Israelites? Now we could read this two ways. I'll read it, I think, the way most of us read it. Who are Israelites? Who pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenant and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises? Whose are the fathers? And of whom concerning the flesh Christ came? Who is over all, God bless forever. That's how we often read it. But we should read it like this. This is how Paul read it, I believe. Who are Israelites? They're chosen of God. He thought about this. There's Israel. They are the called ones. They are Israel. To whom pertaineth the adoption? Look what belongs to them. And the glory. Look at it. And the glory. There should be such a glory upon Israel, but it's not. That was his burden. They were not realizing their adoption. They were not realizing the glory that belonged to them. And the covenant. And the giving of the law. And the service of God. And the promises. There's no other nation that had promises so rich as Israel. Amen? None. Oh, the glory that God wanted to put upon His people and had upon His people at different times. For a little while, like Isaiah said. And the nations trembled. And God went before them and drove the enemies out with the hornets if He had to. Except the Lord build the house, we labor in vain that build it. And it's tough. And it's hard. And we can crank. And we can pump. And we can push. And we can pull. And we can maybe make a few things happen. And I'm not saying, let me tell you this, I'm not saying that there's nothing happening. I'm not saying that. But it doesn't quite match up with this. I can't say it's this. Can't say this is that. There's a couple things, and we may be here tonight, and I know that many of our churches, charity churches, went through a major shakedown. And it hurt me. And I had a hard time finding my way. It affected me deeply. And I'm sure that is true for most of us here tonight. If we were not affected by that, I can't understand how we could not be. Amen? That was serious. But somehow, I want us to know it's God's glory that is at stake. I lost my train of thought there. Maybe God didn't want me to say it. Maybe it'll come back to me. They were Israel. God wanted to put His glory upon them. They had the law. Should have been the wisest people. Service of God. Oh, that made me think when I thought of, when I looked, when I read over that, pondered that, that made me think of the Queen of Sheba that came over to David. The service of God. So much order, so much blessing, it took the wind out of her. She said, the half has not been told. Would to God we could hear a few of those testimonies again. Would to God we could see a few of those testimonies again. Where they would say, I was watching you. I know you had a light in your face that I didn't understand. And I saw the joy in your life. But when I came to church, my breath was taken away. Such joy, such exuberant singing, such love, such peace upon your faces, such a glory resting upon you. I'm talking about the God of heaven that changes not. I'm not talking about man-made
pumped up. Oh yeah, now it comes back to me. I'm not saying that our churches have, there's nothing happening in them, but let's beware of the doldrums. You know, many of us, yeah, we all that we've been through as different churches, many of us have paid a dear price, and we've looked at this thing and we've prayed and we've cried and we've suffered. We said, God, how can we not do this again? And we, you know, we learn from other people's mistakes, and not to say that in a bad way, but anyway, we tried to do things a little different, and we made sure now this isn't going to happen to us. And we have our little flock, and we're like a mother bear, you know, watching over our flock, and we're jealous who they associate with because we want to eliminate the confusion. And I'm sad about the confusion. I really am. And I don't make any apologies about that. It shouldn't be among the people of God. Confusion is not of God. It's confusing for a man who say one thing and 3 years later he says another thing. That is devastating to me, let alone my children. And I know we're human and I know we make mistakes, but God forbid, let's eliminate, let's lessen that. Where's stability? Where's consistency? Did God change? And so we are so strong, and we're concerned. And this thing dawned on me some time ago, and we had a day, 3 days of praying and fasting. And I said, I'm thankful for what God is doing. God is working in a little way. I can't say that He's not. We have good fellowship, and we have joy in the Lord, and we have things where we can say God is working. But I fear the doldrums. The doldrums are down there. They say I was never there by the equator out on the ocean. And when the big ships used to sail with wind and the sailboats, they would come into those doldrums and they would just stop. It's a place on the ocean where there's no wind. It's not rough sailing. It's probably rather smooth there, I can imagine. It's maybe kind of nice after having a lot of the waves. Finally, you get out here where it's smooth. But the problem is, we're not going anywhere. We're not going anywhere. We need the wind of the Holy Spirit to blow once again. And though the water may be a little more rocky and wavy there, but oh, that the wind of God would blow again. And that we would go somewhere. That we would make a difference. And that we would do damage to Satan's kingdom. And we would be on the offense. How do we get it? We need God. There needs to be a man that stirs himself up. God, these two things don't add up. And there he is. He's praying in secret that God would reward him openly. Who's going to pray that way? I don't claim to be a prayer warrior, but I know enough about prayer. If you want to get serious about praying and you have a burden and you set days aside to go pray, just plan on a few hours of having to just unclutter and get yourself free from all distractions. It's just that way for me anyway. It's tough. Till you can break through all the distractions of the mind and you can somehow lock in on God and you can talk to God and you can feel like your prayers are making a difference and you know they're hitting the mark. Many of us stop. I've done it often. I stopped before. You all heard that illustration of the men that were gathered in a prayer room praying. This man had a vision and he saw these leaves gathered on the floor. And these men were praying and they were praying. And the leaves were lifted up and they lifted up and hit the ceiling. And the men stopped praying and the leaves came down, fell back down again. And I might have the story all straight, but somewhere over in another room was an old widow, an old grandma praying, and she was praying and praying, and the leaves lifted up and went right up to the ceiling. The ceiling opened up, and the leaves went up through.
That's what God wants. That's what God wants. Mothers, you can do that tonight. The church needs you. Rise up, O men of God. The church for you doth wait. Her strength unequal to her task. Rise up and make her great. That includes the moms. Amen. We need God. Oh, that Thou wouldest rend the heavens. That Thou wouldest come down. That the mountains might flow down at Thy presence. Brother, does not this stir your heart to hear God's heart? Don't you long for this? Aren't you weary of your sin? Aren't you weary of trying to make it work? You've tried and tried and tried. My message is mainly, primarily to the church this evening as a collective body. There's souls that are suffering because we stop too soon. I think God wants to glorify His name among the saints. I believe that. Glory departing. Listen. This is a sad point. Glory departing. I won't make you turn to these scriptures, but because you know them. I'm not going to tell you anything that you haven't heard tonight. We know the scriptures. Amen. It's good to turn to them. I'm not saying that, but we know them. This is a sad point in Israel's history was the day that Eli fell over backwards. When his two sons were killed and the ark was taken and he died because the ark was taken. Well, I want to point something out to you. God said, I have told him, he knoweth. He had a warning. Eli, you're not getting serious with me about your son's sins. He had a warning. And I'm telling us tonight, if we have a warning, the glory is departing. We have a warning from God. I have told him, God said. 1 Samuel 3:10 to 15, if you want to check it out. I have told him. He knoweth. This isn't the first time that he's finding this out. This came through Samuel. The word that came to Samuel. He told Eli the next morning. He knew. He knoweth. And the glory, it wasn't long after that. That the glory departed and it was Ichabod. Let's not wait till the glory departs completely. Amen. Let's not do that. We have another example. The glory departs when we disobey. We have the example of Saul. To obey is better than sacrifice and to hearken better than the fat of rams. The glory was departing. I don't know, knowing the heart of God, that He's a merciful God. Maybe He would have changed His mind if Saul would have got serious. And repented. I don't know. But Saul disobeyed clear orders and the glory was departing. We see God's glory departing over Israel when Achan hid sin. The glory is departing. There are reasons, I believe, why God's glory isn't upon His people. But that's not my primary burden tonight. My primary burden is to stir up God's people. To get a hold and say, God, do it. Show it. Reveal it. It's about your glory that's at stake. The glory is departing when we leave our first love. Very clear in Revelation, Jesus said to the church, repent or I'll come and remove your candlestick like we saw there in Isaiah for a little while. Let's not think tonight that one just because we had it back there, we'll have it forever. No, there's conditions, amen, to have God's glory upon His church. We've left our, and there's, you know, I noticed something here in Revelation where it says that where I say here the glory is departing when we leave our first love. I didn't check it again tonight, but it doesn't say when we lost our first love. It says when we leave it. You know, when you leave something, it loses its importance and you tend to forget about it. It's God, it's Jesus, it's the gospel losing its importance to you and me enough that we can just leave it.
Not like we, you know, lost it unintentionally. It has the idea of leaving it. You have left your first love. The glory is departing. The glory is departing when we tolerate the doctrine of Balaam, fornication and idolatry. And I believe there's many ways we can tolerate that doctrine. That spirit is so strong in our world today, we need to do everything we can to keep that spirit out. Whether it's dress or what, or music or whatever it may be. Jesus said, deal with it quickly or I will remove your candlestick. The glory is departing when we settle for a lukewarm Christianity. That's sickening to anyone, isn't it? To see someone half-hearted in what he's doing. And it's so to God. God said, I will spew, change or I will spew thee out. Repent or I will spew thee out. Did you forget your salvation? Did you forget the depth of your pit? Did you forget the great gulf that God, the great eternity lost in hell forever that God saved you from? Have other things crowded in and made your experience with the Lord Jesus Christ lukewarm? The glory is departing if that's the case. And stir yourself up tonight and think about how big God is and think about what He did in your life and think about the great family of God that He brought you into and think about your spirit, your level, your temperature affects the church. And if you're lukewarm, you're dragging the others down. You and me have a responsibility to stay hot for God. His glory is at stake. Your brother, your sister is affected by your and my lukewarmness. And ultimately then, number three, the glory departed. That was a sad day. And I don't want to wait till that happens. And the last point is the glory restored. The glory restored. You can turn with me to Isaiah 57, if you will. A couple more scriptures here this evening. Isaiah 57. The glory restored. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is worthy. Amen. The glory restored on His people. Hallelujah. Isaiah 57 verse 14. Here's another cry. Look at verse 13. When thou criest, let thy companies deliver thee, but the wind shall carry them all away. Vanity shall take them, but he that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land. Hallelujah. And shall inherit my holy mountain. Glory to God. And ye shall say, cast ye up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. Verse 15, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. This is what God wants to do. And if we make a way, if we get serious about, if we cast up a highway for God, He wants to come again and put His glory upon His people. What is standing in His way? Perhaps tonight it's just a handful of men that need to get a hold of God, that need to see it. Yes, we're thankful for what we got, but there's more. There's more. God, this isn't that. You know what I'm saying when I say that? Maybe I should make myself clear. In Acts, when the Holy Ghost fell, Acts chapter 2, and those people got filled with the Holy Spirit, and they were joyful, and they were doing glorious things, and they were speaking the Word of God in languages that they didn't know.
So much so that the onlookers thought they're drunk. And they came to Peter and said, "What is this? These men are drunk." And Peter said, "No, they're not drunk, but this is that which the prophet Joel prophesied that shall happen in the last days. I will pour out my spirit upon my sons and upon my daughters." And I probably can't quote the whole thing. But he was simply saying, this is that. That's what I mean. Can you say in your life, this is that? Shouldn't we be able to say that? To the glory of God, this is that. Do you understand? This is that. Oh, for a revival, oh God, of this is that. In His own way. In closing, you can turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 9. But ye, speaking to us now, New Testament Gentile church, ye, brothers, mothers, families, ye are a chosen by God generation. It's not the president. It's not some other important person. It's the God of heaven that chose you. Ye are a chosen generation by God. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood of a high class. The world in God's standard has a low class. The world is not holy. God is holy, and His people should be holy. A royal priesthood offering up the high praises of God. Hallelujah. The world don't know our song. Only the redeemed know our song. We sing a new song. A better song. Ye are a royal priesthood. Think about your church. How does it fit? Think about your home. How does it fit? Ye are a holy nation, a whole group of people. Ye are peculiar. Ye are a peculiar people. A purchased people. Think about the blood. Think about the price. Are we living up to the cost? Ye are a purchased people. You didn't get in on this in your own merits. If you're in, you got in on the price of Jesus' blood. And that should mean something to us. I was a sinner. I was in a deep miry pit. Have I lost the splendor of the deliverance in my life? Have I been overcome by the things of this world?
Have I forgotten who I am in Christ? I'm a son of God. I'm an Israelite, if you will, to whom pertains the adoption and the glory. Why? Why, brother? Why, sister? Not for ourselves, for sure not. Why? Why all this? Why? Here's the burden. Why? To show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. That's why we need to get serious about God's glory. Because, how's my light? Is my light shining in a way that it should? Probably all say no to that one. So, must we conclude that it can't? Absolutely not. God, we need you to work. We need a fresh outpouring. Oh, the glory of a newly recharged, or let me back up. Oh, the glory of a newly born again soul. Amen. It speaks. It ministers like many messages can't. I remember when I was born again at 18 years old. I know something happened, but I knew other people knew something happened to me too. Glory to God. I didn't have to tell them. They just wondered, what happened to you? Oh, that we would show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Look at verse 10. Which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God. Which had not obtained mercy, but now, glory to God, have obtained mercy. Where's God's glory? We have mercy. Dearly beloved, I beg you, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust. It's nothing compared to the glory of God. The decorating of your physical body. Oh, how vain. Oh, how empty. To take what God made and paint it up and try and make it more beautiful. Oh, God wants the heart adorned. Abstain from all those fleshly lusts that you can get at Walmart. I'm not opposed to going to Walmart, but I am opposed if Walmart is dressing you. If you have no standard, I buy stuff at Walmart, but I'm not going to go after its fads. Abstain from these things which war against the soul. It's a war, no doubt. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. So, it does matter what other people think. They look at you and say, there's something different about you, and they glorify God. Eventually, maybe if they get the same thing you got, hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm blessed. Hallelujah. But I'm also burdened. And I think I'm going to leave us with that. A cry from the heart of God. Let's pray. Lord, I just give you this message tonight for Christ's sake. Pray that He would receive glory and honor. God, and we would be concerned about Your glory. And if there's nothing else we know to do, that we would look at it long enough that it would drive us to our knees and we would begin to pray for You to restore Your glory upon Your people. God, in such an
superhuman way, God, that we know this is God, no doubt. God, changing lives, healing relationships, God. I'm sure every one of us could number a number of things tonight, God, that is outside our control to fix. God, that's where we long for the power of the gospel to work once again, God, and somehow bring us to the place where you can work, Father, for thy great name's sake. For you are worthy, Lord. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to turn the time over to Brother Aiden.